Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Going Deep with Aaron Watson. I'm Aaron Watson, your host. Before I introduce both of today's guests, I want to do a quick shout out to a couple 5-star reviews that were left on the iTunes page. We've got BRN Munchausen, I hope I pronounced that right, but said, I've been getting more into podcasts lately, though I pretty much have only listened to comedy podcasts. Aaron provides interesting content with every episode, and I'm excited to keep listening to new episodes. Plus, he's got a great podcast voice, so thank you very much for the voice compliment. Also, Ryan Ross left a 5-star review. Aaron's next question is always more thought-provoking than the last. Interviews with positive change makers, incredible stories, and terrific execution. Thank you both for leaving those reviews and everyone else who's already left those 5-star reviews for the show. I really, really, really appreciate it. If you haven't, or if you end up enjoying today's episode, please take the time to hop over to the iTunes page, or if you're listening on Stitcher, hop on the Stitcher page, leave 5-star review and a rating and a review, and I'll give you a shout out. I really appreciate that. It is the lifeblood of a podcast. The algorithms use it to determine what the most popular shows, episodes are, and it helps us get featured, climb the rankings, show up better in search results. So I really, really appreciate that. But without further ado, our guests today are the co-founders of Propel, Emily Levinson and Kate Stoltzfus. I hope I'm pronouncing that right, Kate. I apologize if I messed that up. But they have co-founded a community called Propel that supports women entrepreneurs in the city of Pittsburgh. They have a newsletter that comes out regularly. They have mastermind groups. They have networking events. And they're just a great resource to female entrepreneurs in the community. Our conversation isn't exclusive to value for female entrepreneurs. They talk about pricing problems that all entrepreneurs face. They talk about networking, mastermind groups. They make some great book recommendations. They talk about how their partnership works. There is a ton of great information in today's episode. I think you're really going to enjoy it. So I'll stop talking and let them do the talking. Without further ado, here are Kate and Emily. Emily, thank you so much for coming on the podcast and for being the first ever part of the first ever trio pod for the Going Deep podcast. It's been solely one-on-one interviews before today.
Wow, that's exciting.
Three's a party. Wow. We're happy.
Yeah, so to start things off, if you are at a party or meeting someone for the first time and they ask you what you do or what you do specifically with Propel, how do you both answer that question?
Okay, I'll start. What I say I do with Propel is that we create space for women to connect both online and off about business and entrepreneurship. So we bring women entrepreneurs together through our networking events, through our online space called Rocket, through our blog and social media, as well as our mastermind group.
Kate pretty much nailed it. I'm not sure. That's similar to what I say, although I think mine is a little bit more general, that we help women entrepreneurs take flight. That has been our tagline from the beginning. So that's, I think, the one that has been etched into my brain. But really helping women just shine a light on what they're doing, help to support people through the stages, whether it's launching a business or helping them grow, and really providing space, whether it's online or off, to meet other women entrepreneurs, to build community, and to really help evolve where they are personally and professionally.
Gotcha. So before Propel existed in 2011, what were you both doing, and how would you say that prepared you or brought you to the genesis of Propel?
Sure. At the time, had just finished my massage therapy certificate, and I was kind of putting my shingle out to have my own massage therapy practice. I was also a blogger at the time, and the way I met Emily was through my interview blog called The Inspiration. And we really hit it off the first time we met and realized we had a lot of similar interests. We love to start things. We love to bring people together.
Yeah, and I was a holistic health coach who had just struck out on my own from working in the corporate world, doing account management and mental health counseling, although wasn't doing it in the position that I left to start my own stuff. Was doing that. I also had a crafting business at the time, making hand-bound books, doing a lot of craft shows. That was initially my dream to pursue prior to Propel. And then when Kate and I connected, we just knew that we had to do something together, that we kept running into each other at different events and would stay for an hour plus afterwards talking in the parking garage and just realized that we had so many interests overlapping and so many passions that we knew that our meeting was not by chance.
Was it over the course of those conversations that the idea for Propel was created, or did you have like a specific powwow where it all came together? How did the organization come to be?
Yeah, we had a lunch date with our third co-founder, who is no longer with Propel, kind of leading it. She's still an active member. But Carrie Nardini was the third person who came together over lunch one day. And the three of us were just talking and loved the energy and just said that we needed to do something and what can we do? And the idea born out of that lunch date was a workshop, a one-time offering to support women entrepreneurs that was really the overlap of all of our experience and networks. And we're planning to do that. So we threw a launch party for the workshop and ended up launching Propel instead and never running the workshop that we had initially talked about.
Yeah, that's right. It was really fun as we started planning this launch or this party. Emily's really awesome at branding, and she's like, oh, I think I've got the name. We should call ourselves Propel, like the word Propel, but adding L at the end. And I'm like, oh, that's genius. And she's like, this is great branding. And I have this idea for this paper airplane. And before we knew it, we had this branding and a business, not really knowing exactly where we would end up. But 4 years later, it's evolved, but it's growing stronger by the day.
So as far as those other businesses that you had kind of been involved with before Propel, have those fallen by the wayside? Were they immediately put the kibosh on them? Or how have those coexisted?
For me, it's definitely been a process, and I still dabble in massage therapy a little bit, but I don't market it. You know, it's something I might do for close friends, but definitely that wasn't the case when we first started Propel. Propel was more like, let's throw a couple events a year at that time. So it's definitely, as time has gone by, more time has gone towards Propel, and I focus less on some of my other businesses or interests.
Yeah, I think for me it's a little bit different. I've always been doing about 10 things at once. So the craft business definitely ended. It ran its course for me. My body actually physically couldn't take the production of making hand-bound books at the level that I was starting to get to. So that one fell by the wayside. I still do food sensitivity testing outside of that 4 hours a week, but very minimal. Having a 17-month-old at home for me is really what takes up most of my time. And Propel is something that I absolutely love and just know that this is where my time is best served. So over the course of the 4 years, Kate and I have really worked hard at going from a part-time side hustle with Propel to really amping it up and making it more of our full-time focus and business.
That's so cool. I'm a big fan of the side hustle term. Is one of my all-time favorite things. I think everyone should find something else that kind of is a little icing on their cake, so to speak. As far as your partnership with Propel, you mentioned that it was originally a trio with you and Carrie as well, and now it's a partnership. How do you manage that relationship and running the business? Do you guys find yourselves to kind of be a yin and yang, or do you have a lot of corresponding skills and skill sets?
I think it's a little bit of both, actually. I think we are yin and yang a little bit. Kate pushes me in a lot of ways to grow and stretch outside of my comfort zone, just in terms of her perspective of the world, her kindness and generosity. It really stretches me outside of what I would consider. But we also complement each other and fill gaps within that and we just overlap in so many ways in terms of our interests and the things that inspire us. So I think that balance for us has been a really powerful one, that we have enough in common that we're really good working together, but we fill enough holes that we're also not overlapping or doing each other's work or kind of tripping over our own feet a little bit.
Yes, definitely. And I think clear roles for specific tasks has been a very, very helpful thing for our partnership. We each have our own things that we kind of own and then a few things that we share together. For instance, Emily's, you know, always managed our website and the design work, and I've done our books. That's kind of the thing that I do myself. And then together we write our blog posts, our newsletters, we split our social media. I'm Instagram and Emily's on Twitter. So once we kind of define those things, that has really helped our workflow and our process.
As far as being able to deliver feedback to each other, I'm sure that's a hugely important part of growing a business together. Do you have kind of a standardized process by which you mentioned challenge each other, or is it just kind of as the obstacle arises, you adapt and meet it?
I don't know that there have been obstacles per se. I feel like for us, daily check-ins with our daily five, so it started as sort of a win, touch, do kind of check-in of where we would just track on a Word, on a Google Doc, actually, every day, where both of us would input information about what our biggest win was for the day, who we were going to reach out to, whether it was an email, a handwritten note, a phone call with somebody, but who were we going to touch in some way that day, and then what were we going to do, and what were our to-dos for Propel for the day. And that, for me, truthfully, has been the biggest accountability piece that we started. We did it in January of this year. And I honestly believe that that has helped to keep us really focused. It's helped us hit goals and achieve things that we set out to achieve. And then every August or September, we sit down for an annual review of how the year went, what were our wins, what were things that we need to work on, and then how can we move forward and what are our goals for the following year.
Gotcha. If you were to be giving advice to someone who's about to enter into a partnership or is looking for a partner, what advice would you give to someone who's just trying to find that right person to work with?
I think just being really clear on what your strengths are and what complementary strengths would be, and seeking out somebody who has those complementary strengths. I mean, Emily and I definitely have complementary strengths, but neither one of us is super, super detail oriented. So I think that but you know what? You can find that with an employee too. You know, as Propel grows, we know that there are some skill sets that we don't cover just between the two of us, and that's okay. I mean, I don't know if two people could cover every skill set ever. I mean, that's impossible. But yeah, just kind of reaching out, like, what would be a good compliment to you, and who would you enjoy talking to and getting to know really, really well, and talking to them a lot.
Yeah. And for me, it's interesting. I don't know that I could have initially started something with a really good friend, right? Because I think there are some real benefits to Kate and I passing each other at events or having really wonderful conversations, but not being so connected already, that we had overlap. We have different interests and people that we spend time with outside of Propel. And I think that has been a really great blessing for both of us. I think it would be a challenge, at least for me personally, to have somebody that I, you know, shared friends with and friends outside of the business, so to speak. But to start with, my husband always wants to start something with me, and I love that. I love that, and I do think we'll eventually do it. But in the beginning, I was very adamantly against doing that with him because I wanted to have our time together and our relationship separate from the work we were doing.
Yes, I think starting something with a loved one, a family member, or your best friend adds another layer that Emily and I haven't had to work through. It's really nice. Kind of our history together really has been our history with Propel. And yeah, it's been a good thing.
Yeah. And I think too, because if and when it happens that your business dissolves or you go in different directions, it can be the end of a relationship. And so if you're really good friends with somebody and things don't go well in business, the friendship can be over. So really keeping aware of that, being very clear of what happens in those instances while you're still on good terms, is also a really solid piece of advice that we we had, I actually think that was Kate's advice for us in the very beginning, was to have that document in place. And it really, I think, has been one of the best decisions. It's built into our contract. It's built into the terms of Propel, and really, really just something to consider while you are on good terms. How is that? What is it going to look like if and when it ends? How does that happen? And how does that kind of process work together so that there's no question, there's no back and forth, no arguments. And, you know, with transitioning to two people from three, it could have gone very poorly. And we were very lucky that it was a very amicable split, and have nothing but love for our partner in that sense. But it could have ended very differently if we weren't proactive in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Thank you for that. There's a lot of wisdom baked into that answer. The other thing, I guess it's just kind of a continuation of what you said, is the ability to kind of have a work-life balance. So I know that if I was starting a business with my best friend or my girlfriend or someone, you know, a very close part of my personal life, it kind of disables your ability to go home and just put work away or your work brain away for a few hours and reset and think about something else, because that is something that is maybe directly tied to or hanging over your interactions with that person.
Sure. And if it's not successful, right, it can be a really big wedge between, particularly if it's your only source of income, right, and something tanks or the business changes or it's not successful, it can be a really stressful time on a relationship. And when you don't have that person then to be an ear or a support or a shoulder to cry on when things get difficult, it really shifts the dynamic in a lot of ways.
Changing gears here a little bit to get into all the different things that Propel does. You mentioned the newsletter. We mentioned the networking events. But I actually wanted to start off by asking about the mastermind group. So people who have listened to previous episodes know that I'm part of a mastermind group, but every mastermind group kind of has their own way of going about business, things they focus on, how often they meet, and the like. So how does your group operate?
Sure. Well, our Propel Mastermind offering has definitely evolved over the years. I believe this is the third year that we've offered the Propel Mastermind. This year we decided to do a year-long program, and we meet 8 months out of 12 in person, and then over the summer we did a virtual course, our Propel Summer Camp, that our Mastermind group was a part of. But essentially when we do meet in person, we have 10 in the group this year. We meet for a half day, and everybody has a chance to talk about what they're focusing on in their business, particularly what's a current challenge or a current area that they would like feedback on, and then the group gives them feedback, and everybody has a time to talk. We also have been reading books together, and we chat about the book at the beginning of the meeting, just to get some different ideas and inspiration in the group, different perspectives on business. What else am I missing, Emily?
We also assign accountability partners. So outside of the monthly meetings with us, the accountability partners meet weekly. So there is a touch point every week, whether it's from us or from a member of the mastermind. And we really encourage them to connect with everybody else, so coffee dates and things like that, so people can really form more solid connections and build their own network and kind of army of, you know, biggest supporters and fans, which is really, I think, one of the nice outcomes outside of all of the other help and evolution and development that the mastermind provides, that having people who are just your biggest fans and willing to help you and support you and want to see you succeed, that is a really, I think, wonderful bonus of having a mastermind group like that.
Absolutely. Any particular books that your group's read recently that you'd recommend others?
Well, the book that we kicked the year off with, and it resonated with some big time and others not so much, but for Emily, both Emily and I, was a big book for us this year. It was called The Miracle Morning by Hal Elrod. I don't know if you've seen or heard of that book, but
I've actually not read it, but I've heard him speak on another podcast, so I'm very familiar with his some of his principles, but you can go ahead and explain it.
Yes, I mean, he's got a lot of energy. You can't forget Yo Pal Hal. But he just basically, for us, what we pulled away from it was just how important a morning routine is and establishing a morning routine, starting your day off with things that are super important to you. We did a challenge with the mastermind at the beginning for people to record their miracle mornings, and three of them actually didn't miss a day, I think, or they did. They were very close to doing 30 days, so that was a big book for me personally.
Yeah, and two other ones I think that resonated. The one that we read last month actually resonated with literally everyone in the room, which is unheard of because every other book they've kind of snarked at us saying, why did you choose this? But Girl Boss was definitely one that resonated with everybody in the room. It's a fantastic story. Highly recommend for anyone, but particularly for women entrepreneurs looking to either start something or just to have a little bit of insight about the trajectory of success. And then another one I think that resonated was Tim Ferriss's 4-Hour Work Week and the concept of really honing in and cutting away some of that filler, removing the bottleneck around you so that you can be more effective. I think we've had a lot of women bring that back up over the course of meetings.
Absolutely. 4-Hour Work Week's been very impactful for me as well. One thing I just want to touch back on the Miracle Morning book is one of his big points is that a lot of people struggle to wake up and maybe don't have that, they don't consider themselves a morning person because they're waking up to something they're not excited about. So they're reverse engineering their morning, saying, well, I have to get to the office by 9, so I have to leave by 8:30, so I have to wake up by 7:45, and that's when they set their alarm, as opposed to starting your day off with something that you're really excited about, whether it's meditation or going to the gym or reading to your kids or whatever it may be. Starting your day off with something that excites you mm-hmm. has a momentum effect as far as the energy that you bring to that day.
Yeah, I think for me the key was just being intentional about how I chose to wake up and how I chose to spend my time. And I think at the end, an hour was a little bit too much. I know you can structure Miracle Morning to what fits your schedule. For me, I found that the two pieces that have really stuck with me and really spoken to me were the daily journaling and the daily meditation. And those are two that I carve out no matter what, 15 minutes a day, if that's all I have, 5 minutes. But that's something for me that has not stopped and, in fact, is something that I really look forward to. With a 17-month-old at home, it's sometimes challenging to do it first thing because when she wakes up at 3:45 a.m. for the day, I'm not getting up an hour before that. A miracle morning, but you know, to spend the first 15 to 20 minutes of her first nap in the morning to spend it on myself versus diving right into business and then feeling like I'm chasing my tail all day long has really shifted my focus and my ability to get things done and my productivity levels. I really feel like that's made a huge difference in just how I show up every day.
I want to touch on that briefly, Emily. You've mentioned your 17-month-old.
Yeah.
And just basically want to dive into balancing work obligations with family time.
Sure.
How do you manage that? Do you set aside specific time that is exclusively for work, or how do you go about thinking about balancing that?
Yeah, I'm not sure that balance is the right word, right? Because I don't know if that exists ever for anybody. But I think it's really a matter of choosing what your priorities are and what matters most to you. A lot of things you asked in the beginning about, you know, how do we have other side hustles? Is Propel our main thing? And for me, a lot of the things that fell away are things that I deemed less worthy of the limited time that I had to focus on business or myself, frankly. So it's really been a matter of working for me during nap time, at least for the first portion of this first half of her life, first portion of her life, has been working during nap time. So, you know, she gets up in the morning, I have maybe an hour to 2 hours, the first nap, then I spend time with her, then she goes down for a second nap in the afternoon and I have another hour or two to work. And then if I didn't get done what I needed to, or if we have a project or a launch that we're working on, I work in the evening and go to bed and rinse and repeat. So it's not necessarily, I'm not sure you would call that balance, but but then there are days where I really can go out and do the things. I'm choosing to be home with her and to spend that time, and I'm really feel very lucky that I have the flexibility and partnership that allows for that to happen and to function. And she's now getting to be the age where I am going to be having somebody come in 2 days a week. So we're building up. It's been a slow build, but up until this point, it's been working during nap time and occasionally having help, but really mostly working during naps and at night.
And then, Kate, what I actually wanted to ask you about is you were a recipient of the 40 Under 40 commendation from Pittsburgh Magazine. how do you go about, how did you find out that you've been honored, or was there, how does that work? Because I don't know anything about how that happens.
Well, I found out that I was nominated, and I believe it was Emily who nominated me. So that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I think every year until Kate won, been nominating her because she's just a total badass. So she deserved it long before she got it, but
we'll see. it was just an email, and I was super honored to receive it, and had a lot of fun at the event. It was just neat to meet some other young Pittsburghers who had projects going on. It was a lot of fun.
When you have your yearly retreats or breaks to kind of set goals and talk about the future of Propel, how do you set those goals, and what are some of your goals for the future of Propel?
I think one big goal for us this next year is to reach more women with our messages, whether it's through, we're talking about possibly doing a podcast. So awesome to be experiencing on the interviewee end today. But podcasts or more virtual offerings or reaching a larger audience, I think that is right now a bigger term goal for us.
Yeah, our meetings, we typically structure it really just focusing on what the wins were for the year for us. So looking back and reflecting on some of our favorite moments, something that we were most proud of doing, whether that was, you know, with the women we worked with, the number of women we've served, or investing in ourselves and hiring a coach for us, or, you know, looking into programs in that sense, also hitting goals that we set for ourselves the previous year. So really tracking our wins on what we've been most proud of for the year. This year, we also looked at things that maybe we weren't, and I don't want to say weren't proud of, but that we just felt like we missed the mark, or we could have done way better to serve our women or to serve ourselves in terms of how we were handling our business and structuring Propel. And then really looking at what our number one goal is, what are the things that we really want to focus our time and energy on? And as Kate said, really expanding our reach is definitely one of those. We so love what we do and see the power of helping and supporting women entrepreneurs, that we just know that we could do more and help more and serve more women. And that's really a driving force for us of being able to do that. I also think this year was really interesting for us because we're seeing Propel evolve in a really beautiful way. We've grown up. We've had 4 years under our belt. We're really honing in on the things that we love to do, and we're very clear for next year, and even as we've implemented from that meeting, of really shining the light on other women. And just, there are so many talented, skilled, brilliant women doing amazing things, and we really want to be a platform to show the good work of other people and also to help shine the light inside for women, to really kind of give them places to grow and to evolve and to really reflect about what they're doing and how they personally can grow as well as professionally in there.
That sounds great. As far as having the mission specifically of helping female entrepreneurs in Pittsburgh, are there any specific challenges that female entrepreneurs in general or in the Pittsburgh area face that you've come across or that you have had to work through when having your different mastermind groups and networking events?
Well, one that has been surfacing up a lot lately is kind of this imposter syndrome, you know, kind of this question of who am I to offer this service? I'm not qualified for this, or feeling like they're not worthy of the prices that they're charging, or that, you know, they're not, you know, their prices are too high, nobody will pay it, you know, things like that. Like kind of this imposter syndrome is something I think has been kind of universally been a challenge for women in our network.
And broad. I mean, I see it everywhere in terms of the online groups that I'm a part of that are really catering to women entrepreneurs. It's a very classic, and I don't know if male entrepreneurs feel the same way, but it's very rampant among the female entrepreneur community of just really not feeling like they are good enough, talented enough, know enough. I actually recently read an article from Forbes.com, and I actually think that this doesn't just apply to entrepreneurs. I think it's broader in general to men and women, right, in the working world or working for themselves. But men feel, and again, rampant kind of overgeneralization here, but the research studies show that men, when they have 60% of the skills or the talent for a position, will go after it, where women wait until they have 100% of the skills, the knowledge, the talent, the experience. So there is this lack, or there's this confidence gap, I think is what the article was talking about, this confidence gap between skills and job and going after something and whether you're deemed qualified or not. And women hesitate and wait until they're 100, or they feel 100%, even though they're overqualified generally when they get to that point, based on kind of the other people applying for those positions.
I totally agree. I think that to go the total opposite direction and get supremely anecdotal, two members of my mastermind group, one's a guy, he has a foraging business, and the other's a woman who is a violin instructor and performs in some concerts. And with both of them, it seems like almost constantly having this discussion of how much should I be charging for my next event? How much should I be billing for my hourly rate? And it's very common across industries, across genders, across all sorts of situations, is this idea of your self-worth. Because there's so much messaging out there, regardless of what you're doing, that says no. There's so many people who don't respond to your email or don't return the phone call or whatever form no comes in. And getting to having the person out there who you don't want to go so far as to be a rah-rah, you know, just constantly saying like, you're amazing, you're perfect, you can charge whatever you want, because that's not realistic. But looking them dead in the eye and saying, you're providing a valuable service. This is specialized. You've put a ton of work into this.
Yeah.
Charge your worth. That's all you should do. And your worth is $10 more than what you're charging, or double what you're charging, or whatever the case may be. I think that is a huge, huge lesson for that so many entrepreneurs. I know that I still struggle with overcoming that myself. I think that's a lesson for everybody.
Yeah, I think two things I would love to say to that. One is, when you're talking about charging your worth, it means that there's this like number or dollar sign on your inherent value as a human being, and I think that is immeasurable, right? So we've been really clear about trying to separate that from what is your time and your talent worth, what is your expertise worth, what is your unique skill set worth. And I think that can really help to separate for people what their inherent value as a human is, which is invaluable, versus what their skill set is worth. And I think that can help to make it a little less personal. And also within that, I mean, we just got off the phone with somebody who, I mean, the actual level of experience that they have versus what they're starting a business in, I mean, it's amazing to me that people don't see their skills and what they bring to the table, that I think everyone really could stand to spend some time around. You know, what do you bring to the table? What is your unique skill set and talent? And what are the things that really you bring to the table that other people potentially don't? Because that comes up always for us.
Always. And it's hard to see that. It really is hard to see that for yourself sometimes. And if you are struggling with figuring out what are your kind of superpowers, Emily did this exercise earlier this year. It's from Peter Voogt's book, 6 Months to Six Figures, but it's sending out a letter to people that love you and asking them, hey, what are my strengths? What am I good at? What do you appreciate about me? And what are some areas that you see that, you know, growth potential for me? And it was an honor to fill it out for Emily. And I think, and she did the same for me, actually, but it was very eye-opening. And if anybody's out there that's struggling with seeing their superpowers, this is an awesome tool. Check out the book.
Yeah, it is. And one final piece about pricing, because I think this is a universal struggle. It also is a marketing tool. And I think that component is often left out of the discussion around charging your worth, right? Because it's about what you're bringing to the table, what you value, but it also is a marketing tactic. And if you want to serve low-income people, charging $1,000 an hour is probably a poor choice of clients or pricing, right? You're not going to have too many clients who can afford that in low-income. But same thing of serving the kind of super luxury market, you don't want to charge $10 an hour for somebody that's willing to pay you $1,000 an hour, right? So thinking very clearly about who do you want your clients to be, what is their income level, what are they willing to pay for the service, and then using that also as a way to market your services, it really can be a very powerful tool in that sense too.
I want to thank you both so much for sharing your time with me. I know I've learned a lot. I'm sure the listeners will learn a lot as well. Before I hand you the mic one last time to issue a personal challenge to the audience, if people want to connect with you, if they want to learn more about Propel, or just maybe learn more about you guys, where can they go to do that?
Well, they can come to our website. It's wepropel.com, wepropelle.com. And you can also find us on Instagram and Twitter at wepropel and Facebook. We are Propel on Facebook. Where else?
We're fledglingly on Pinterest. We've dabbled in Periscope, but truly the website is the best place to find us and to learn more. You can read about Propel's kind of beginnings and then a little bit more about Kate and I individually. And also we have some fantastic guest posts that have been coming up recently. Our blog has become quite robust, and even our newsletter is definitely a very good place to connect with us. We send out a newsletter once a week. We issue a lot of challenges, which is a really good tie-in to the final challenge. But there's always a call to action, a quick tip, do this now, an inspiring quote. I'm trying to think what else we cover.
We'll often send templates to different ways to construct a letter. Yeah, fun challenges, always actionable items in our newsletter.
I like that. All of that will be linked to in the show notes, along with Emily and Kate's Twitter addresses if you want to tweet at them. So last things last, the personal challenge for the audience.
All right, so our personal challenge for the audience is, for the next 30 days, we challenge you to record a win in your business, a win in your personal life, whatever it is, start your day off with something that is going really, really well. And if you want to take it a step further,
we have a free download on the website called The Daily Five, and it starts with the win, and then also goes into the touch. So who did you reach out to, or who are you going to connect with today? It could be handwritten note, it could be on social media, it could be through email. We also then look at what will you be doing for the day, what did you do yesterday, just to kind of get a running log of what you've been accomplishing. And it really is a wonderful accountability tool. I know when Kate and I do it, if I haven't filled in anything and I see what she's done, I kind of run to the computer, okay, I have to do like five things right now because she's done all this amazing stuff and I want to pull my weight. And it really helps to keep us motivated and on track. So if you want to find an accountability partner, that's always a wonderful thing to do, but it's also really effective to just do it for yourself.
I will be doing that. If people want to, if you want to be a part of the challenge, you can tweet at all of us and we can hold each other accountable for those daily wins. One last time, thank you so much, Emily and Kate.
Thank you for having us. It's a true honor.
Yeah, this has been so fun.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Quick reminder, if you could head on over to Stitcher or iTunes, leave a rating and review. That's a huge, huge help to the show. I'd really, really appreciate it. Also, if you've done all that or you're thinking, I don't really trust Aaron yet, but I did like this episode, what you can do is you can email today's episode to a young female, doesn't have to be young, a female entrepreneur that you think would find this valuable, insightful, or inspirational. If you send it to them, CC me on that email at goingdeepaaron@gmail.com. I'd love to just see that you're sharing the show. Also, I'd be happy to make an introduction to the new potential listener. I really, really appreciate that. If there's any other way that the show can be in service to you, if you want to make a guest suggestion, provide feedback, or just tell me I'm doing a mediocre job, feel free to shoot me an email or also connect with me on Twitter at AaronWatson59. And until next time, hope everyone enjoyed today's episode and has a great day.